Welcome to the Doug Peterson Show.
Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
JP Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
And welcome in. It's week three, the Doug Peterson Show. The Jaguars and the LA Chargers coming up at SoFi Stadium, 4:05 Eastern Time this Sunday. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman and head coach Doug Peterson. And I must say, first place Jacksonville Jaguars has a nice ring to it, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It does have a nice ring to it. You know, I know we're 2 weeks in, but you know, it's something, honestly, that we've talked about as a team. And in order for us to get to where we want to go, you got to be able to take care of your division. And we got off to the right start last weekend.
And I think also the validation of winning is always good for a program when it starts for you and your staff.
It is. And, you know, and for us to come out the way we did and play the way we did, I thought all three phases played extremely well, you know, in that football game. And really, I think making it a little bit of a statement, but at the same time, just understanding that's what we're capable of doing. You know, if we just focus on ourselves and keep, you know, keep the mistakes to a minimum, you know, good things are going to happen to this football team.
And I love your messaging this week, because I've heard your players all say it. I've heard you say it. So what now?
That's right. And you've got to have that mentality, and it doesn't matter what you've done in the past or, you know, what have you done for me lately. It's just a matter of taking care of business and trying to go 1-0, you know, each week. And you know, there's going to be highs and lows throughout the entire season. And it's just how we respond, how we come back from that. There's going to be times of adversity, and there's going to be successes in this season. And it's just how we handle it. Approach our business, kind of that 24-hour rule, you know, after a ball game, and it's right on to the next.
I know it's the 24-hour rule, but one more thought about last week's game before we move ahead to the Chargers. A shutout win. Those are rare in the NFL. Mike Caldwell's second game as an NFL defensive coordinator, his group pitches a shutout. Do you know how many shutouts you've been involved in as a head coach, on the winning side at least?
We did our research.
I know you guys did your research anyway. That's probably my first.
Second. 2018, right, Logs?
Yeah, at Washington. And your defensive coordinator was Jim Schwartz, right?
Yeah,
you remember
Jim Schwartz.
That game?
I do remember that game.
24-0.
Last game of the year.
Yeah, last game of the year, 24-0.
In fact, we had to win that game to potentially put us into the postseason. Then we had to wait on the Bears, I believe, to beat Minnesota in Minnesota, and that happened, so it put us in the postseason that year.
Wow.
It's amazing how you remember those, because they've got meaning. I remember I was a part of, I think, one shutout in my playing career, and we beat Washington at Washington 3-0.
Hey, a win's a win.
It's your kind of game, right?
Offensive kind of guy. Offensive guy, 3-0. Yeah, that's it's beautiful right there.
Do whatever it takes to win the game, as you said earlier this week. All right, I'm moving ahead now. West Coast trip. The narrative this week outside of the building is historically this franchise has issues out west. The Jags are 0-5 when visiting the Chargers franchise. It's a new era now, of course. You can't worry about any of that. It's a normal trip Saturday for you. Step one. Don't change it. Don't go Friday. Go Saturday. Keep the routine.
Yeah, you know, I'm big about keeping the routine, and the only thing we're going to do differently is just bump our times up and keep our bodies on East Coast time. And you know, I do feel like it makes a difference when we're out there, just trying to keep the guys in a normal routine. And then you wake up Sunday morning, you're fresh, you're ready to go. And, you know, I personally have had success doing it out there. Haven't won them all, but at the same time, you know, we understand, too, you know, about this team and, you know, not winning on the West Coast. And it's a matter of how we handle our business as we travel, you know. And I've talked to the team this week about that and being able to just take care of their business, focus on their job, stay in the moment, stay in the present, and, you know, just work hard and dominate, you know, this whole week in practice.
I was never a fan of Friday travel. I never understood why coaches did that. It kind of made it more of a vacation-type atmosphere, whereas when you travel on Saturday – it's a business trip.
It is, and it's kind of a shock to the system when you go on Saturday. Friday, I've done those before in my past, and it does feel like that, you know, and you kind of wake up on Saturday, you go throughout your business, and you got a little free time in the afternoon. But, yeah, being able to travel, you know, on Saturday kind of keeps the guys, you know, keeps the guys focused and ready.
Well, regardless of travel, you're going to be facing a really good football team that has a really good young quarterback who – may or may not play. We're not sure at this point yet, but the fact is he's a really good young quarterback.
He's a really good young quarterback, and I love everything about him, his work ethic, the way he leads that football team. He's, you know, he's become a really good, you know, pocket passer. He can throw on the run. You know, just everything you would want in a quarterback. And, of course, he's got the weapons around him, too. And, he he's smart. He understands to play defense when he can play defense. And they got a tremendous defense there as well, something that, our work has cut out for us as an offensive unit. But Justin has done a nice job, you know, and we expect him to play. He's that type of player. You know, he'll play through any kind of soreness or pain that he might be feeling, and he'll be ready to go.
Have you ever had that rib cartilage thing?
I've had that. I've had that as a quarterback. I've had it twice, actually, and it's not fun. It gets a little tender during the week, and the more you move around, it sort of agitates it a little bit. But you can play with it, you know. Modern medicine can make it dull anyway on game day, and you push through it.
I've had that experience one time in college. It's never one spot, and so they inject you like 6-7 times, and they keep trying to get it.
Yeah, sometimes they miss a spot, but yeah. No, we expect him to be out there. He's a good player, and he doesn't want to miss this game.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us on the Doug Peterson Show. Imagine that. And defense. Now, you mentioned there the Chargers defense, and it starts with those outside pass rush specialists, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and Cam Robinson and Jawan Taylor on the edges. That's quite a battle on both sides of the line in this game.
It is, and it's going to be a great matchup to watch all game long. And, you know, that's four really good players in this league. And, you know, you kind of challenge our guys if you want to play the best, be the best, or be the best, you want to play the best, right? And how well Cam and Jawan, you know, play this weekend, it doesn't win or lose us the football game, but it just kind of solidifies their place, you know, in Jaguars offensive line history. And it's a great opportunity for them, but it's also an opportunity for the entire offense. You know, these are two good edge rushers. They pride themselves in getting the offense in a third and long situation so they can just rush the passer. And, you know, so we've got to do really and be really good on first and second down and try to stay out of third down overall.
And when watching film, my eyes go to Joey Bosa just because he's so talented against the run in the pass. But then my eyes kind of work over towards Derwin James. When you watch film, there's some guys, Doug, that just stand out that are just freaks. I mean, freaks, the way they move, how strong they are. And Derwin James is an absolute freak.
He is, and Coach Staley uses him in a bunch of different places, different personnel groups, moves him all over the place. He'll line up at safety, a linebacker, an edge rusher, you know, just so it's a credit to Derwin, obviously, to understand the defense and what they're trying to get done. But he's another one of those guys that you got to really account for and understand where he is because he fits into that scheme extremely well. He's a downhill guy. He'll light you up. And so we got to be ready for that as well.
All right, final thought with you, Coach. You mentioned it throughout the week. We talked about it earlier. So what, now what is the mantra this week? But there's still confidence in this building, right? It's not just, hey, they're coming off a win. That's a better place to be instead of coming off a loss going on this road trip. So to get this opportunity to go play a team like the Chargers is probably a good step for this team right now.
It is, and it's really going to be a great benchmark for us as a unit going out there on the road playing a playoff caliber football team and really kind of seeing where we are as a unit, you know, and as a team. And it starts with the travel and how we handle that, but ultimately the game on Sunday and trying to eliminate as many distractions around us, focus on the game, you know, four quarters, 60 minutes, all that stuff that coaches talk about. And bottom line is just go play and have fun.
When you have a message as a coach, it's always good to see and to know that you have kind of a maturity level with some of your players to help carry that message. And from listening to some of your guys, Doug, this week, and then from talking with some of them, the maturity level of some of these younger players that you've gotten seems to be really impressive. How impressed are you with the maturity level of some of these younger players?
I mean, I'm very impressed with that. And you know, that's one of the things that I think as a head coach and you know, I try to set the tone for the week, obviously, early in the week on Wednesday. And when the guys are saying and repeating the same things in the media when asked questions, and you know that that's when they've bought in, they believe, and that's what these young guys have done, and even some of the veteran players, and just watching some of the veteran players as well, and it's just a credit to them, but it makes you feel good as a coach, as a leader, to see these young players stepping up like that.
Doug, thanks for the time as always. Good luck to you. Let's get a win in L.A.
Thank you very much. Yes.
That's head coach Doug Peterson. More on the Doug Peterson Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. It is the Doug Peterson Show. And our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson joining us in the first segment every week. The Jaguars and the LA Chargers coming up. And, that's a level-headed, even-keeled Jaguars head coach. He's won a bunch in the league. He's lost a bunch in the league. He's won the big one in the league. He knows there are 18 weeks and 17 games, and you can't get too low after that loss week one, which they didn't. They bounced back and won, but it's a long season ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you enjoy the wins, and you know, even though you have quote unquote a 24-hour rule, it makes the week following better, and that's just the way it is. And I like how that saying has stuck with him and his players, and the message is getting carried around. And so now they got to see if they can carry that over into Sunday on the left coast. I think it's going to be a tight ball game. I think this is going to be a very, very close ball game. And that's, I'm assuming that Justin Herbert's going to play.
I mean, you can't assume really anything else, right?
Here's the reality. He missed one snap.
Right.
He missed one snap. Chase Daniel comes in and has one snap. And then he comes back in. And Justin Herbert throws a dime down the middle to his wide receiver, Carter, for a huge gain. I don't remember exactly how many yards it was, but it felt like it was like 30-plus yards. And then he throws a touchdown after that to close the gap with, I think, to 3 in the ball game, which was, I mean, tremendous. This is after he took this hit from the Kansas City linebacker. So I think he's going to play. I don't know if he's going to have Keenan Allen, because Keenan Allen's hamstring happened in the opener and it looked to be pretty severe. Hamstrings are tricky. Sometimes you don't want to bring a guy back too soon, especially a veteran guy like Keenan Allen. So could he be without his top target? I mean, possibly, but I think this is a matchup, again, I'm looking forward to, just from the standpoint of, could this be the matchup that we're going to be watching for years to come, you know, with two young, great quarterbacks. I mean, the AFC has so many great young quarterbacks.
I mean, they're all over the place in the AFC, right?
Where are they at in the NFC?
Oh, the NFC teams are playing pretty good early in the season as a whole.
Think about that. The talent at the quarterback position.
The young talent.
In the AFC.
Yeah.
And then you compare that. Name me the best young NFC quarterback.
Young NFC quarterback.
Yeah, young.
Hurts playing pretty good.
Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty well.
Is he the best? Is he the best one?
Because in the AFC. Kyler Murray.
Yeah. He's an off-schedule kind of guy.
Yeah.
Anybody else you can
Dak's
think of?
Dak's getting old.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers is old.
Yeah, he's old.
Bears quarterback who's just drafted, Justin Fields.
Not playing very well.
I'm just trying to think of young quarterbacks now.
And he PO'd some of the Bears fans with some of his comments recently.
He'll be fine. Go win. He'll be fine.
You know, with the AFC, think about the AFC. I mean, Josh Allen to Lamar Jackson to Joe Burrow to Justin Herbert.
Mahomes is still in that window.
Mahomes is awesome.
Right. So that's just on one hand in the first five teams you think of.
Well, the reality is this, is that if you're going to compete in the AFC, you better have a good quarterback, because there's a bunch of them in the AFC right now.
You know, you mentioned the name Chase Daniel, who is one of the best at the business of football in the history of the game. 14 seasons, he's made nearly $42 million as a backup.
And how many passing attempts?
I've got to look it up again, because I heard that the other night. It's just, it's amazing.
So we're going to do some math here, JP. We'll do some math, okay?
Right.
Hold on, let me get my calculator out.
Okay? Oh, I got you. So,
hold on. Wait till I'm ready. Okay, yeah. I want the number of attempts. So I got
Chase Daniel.
I'm ready.
Number of attempts in his career, 261.
261.
Which is amazing.
He's so $16,091 per attempt.
That's pretty good. Good for him. That's really good. So, all right.
I think that's right.
And, you know, obviously he would go if for some reason Herbert's not ready to go in this game, but we'll see. This will be a good matchup for the Jaguars pass rushers as
Wait. I think it didn't sound right.
It's more than that.
No, it's more than that.
Yeah.
Give me, it's, so
this
wait,
is
wait,
Virginia
40,
math.
42, what did you say, 42 million?
Yeah.
I was off by like a
had a couple
zero.
Zeros.
Yeah, because I only put 4.2 million in.
This is the best radio show in the history of the genre.
Well, how many attempts did you say again?
200 and something.
Yeah, 272, I think
I
you
don't
said.
Know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's like 150,000 or whatever it is.
That's more
attempt.
Like it.
It's crazy.
You must have skipped that class in Charlottesville.
Yeah, sorry, I did 4.2 million.
Yeah. We're back in a moment. Plenty ahead. We'll touch more on the rib issue for Herbert. We will also come back and discuss the challenge for the Jaguars offensive tackles this week against the pass rushers of the Chargers.
We got to get the big keys to the game, you know, our matchups to watch, right?
Oh,
did you do that last week?
Oh, that'll come up a little bit later.
Okay. All right.
I like the forward teasing Jeff Loggeman tonight. That's great.
I'm ready.
Hey, we're going to get there.
I'm ready.
Patience. Just like the Jaguars offense last week. Be patient. This is a long drive show.
You know,
it's not a big chunk play show.
And then pretty cool comment from Doug after we got off the air that I'll share from people.
I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
We are back. It's the Doug Peterson Show presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. The Jaguars in first place in the AFC South. One up, one down. They'll head to L.A. to face the Chargers this Sunday, 4:05 at SoFi Stadium. On the network, we're on air at 3 o'clock with Countdown to Kickoff. We'll hear from Adam Archuleta, CBS Sports Analyst. Devin Lloyd, Jaguars linebacker, will join us as well. And plenty of pregame commentary from the booth and otherwise.
Highest rated rookie in week two, according to Pro Football Focus.
Really?
Devin Lloyd.
He had a good game.
Yeah, he had a good game. Really, really good game.
Big difference from week one to week two. Improvement, time on task, out there, the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, people say, well, you know, he got the great interception. And, you know, sometimes you got to give credit where credit is due, because if you look at the interceptions that were made in that ball game, to give credit where credit is due, on the Rayshon interception, Trayvon got great pressure on Matt Ryan and really forced that. And that was a really big play in the ball game. So
first drive.
Give credit to Trayvon,
it was
right?
Great. It was the seventh play of the drive. They were kind of moving down the field to open the game.
Fast forward to later in the ball game, Devin Lloyd's interception. Fadakasi got a pass defense. He got a piece of that ball.
He deflected it. Yep.
And then later on the Cisco interception, which was kind of late in the game and they're getting a little bit desperate, but Josh Allen and Adam Gotsis literally crushed Matt Ryan as that ball is leaving his hand. I mean, crushed him. That doesn't allow the follow-through on the throw. So all three interceptions had some type of an impact on the quarterback up front. So, you know, they always say about rush and cover work hand in hand. Well, I mean, okay, rush and interceptions also work hand in hand.
Tips and overthrows, all that stuff is key. Yeah, for sure.
And by the way, did you walk away from that game going, Matt Ryan's done?
He didn't look great, I'll say that. Now, he didn't have his top two receivers either. I'll give him that.
Yeah, but I mean,
it wouldn't have mattered. Pressure was on. They didn't run the ball. They had pressure.
JP, I mean, seriously. I mean, after that game, and then if you watched the first three quarters of week one, okay, the Houston game that they ended up tied in, if you watched the first three quarters of the Houston game and then you watched the entirety of the Jaguars game, you would say Matt Ryan's done. Hmm. Or at least he should be done.
Wow.
I was totally, utterly, completely unimpressed with Matt Ryan.
When's the second matchup? At the end, right?
That's a great question.
I think it's at the end. I think it's the last. I should know this, but that's like 4 months away. All right, let's flip it around. The Jaguars offensive line in week one against Washington, it was the interior of their defensive front that really had the strength. And Montez Sweat was good on the outside, but they did not have Chase Young on the other side. And they were effective in that game. They hit the quarterback 10 times. They sacked him a handful of times. Well, last week, the O-line stood up nice against Indy. Only two quarterback hits, no sacks in the game. Trevor got it out faster. That certainly helped. It all runs together. Mm-hmm. This week, another challenge, but the challenge comes from the outside, on the edges for this L.A. Chargers defense. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and it's Cam Robinson and Juwan Taylor, and that's going to be something to watch all day long.
And I'm going to direct some eyes maybe in another area too.
Oh, really?
Because Luke Fortner is struggling.
Okay.
And I know everybody's talking about Khalil Mack and everybody's talking about Joey Bosa, and rightly so. They're two great players.
What do you mean by struggling?
But you want something that you can put your hand on?
Yeah.
Okay, if
you just say vaguely he's struggling.
If you look at the all the centers that have played so far this year, and I know that PFF is not the gospel, Pro Football Focus, but just trying to give people an idea, he's at the bottom. Okay, so his performance and kind of surprised because, you know, in the preseason I thought he was doing really good. And I thought he's making the transition from the college to the pro seamless. And then week one, look, there's a lot of people that are going to struggle against Allen and your other Alabama guy.
Payne. Deron Payne.
Payne causes pain. I mean, a lot of centers would struggle. And Fortner struggled mightily against them. It was like, okay, rookie, first game against two great players. Well, week two, another two good players, okay, Buckner and Grover Stewart, 90. Two good players.
Is the struggle more against the strength up in the middle or the speed or a little of both or thinking about the checks?
I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, I think it's the speed of the tempo of the game. I think it's the strength of the game, and it's also the comfort level in – playing center, because, you know, as we know, playing center is the hardest position on the offensive line from a mental standpoint, because you're making the checks and you're getting everybody set and you're identifying the mic and this and that, working with the quarterback. You know, the hardest position to play from a rookie standpoint is left tackle, just from a physical standpoint, because you're facing great players.
Unbelievable.
Week after week after week after week.
Elite athletes, yes.
And on the inside, you're a little protected. You got help right beside you in a lot of cases. So, but yeah, I want to see him get better because I think he's capable of getting better, and it's also part of the rookie growing pains. He's getting some hard lessons early, and here's an opportunity for him this week. He's not facing the level, I don't think, of personnel or competition that is what he faced last week and then the week before that. This is a little different, but he has to take a step forward for this offense to be able to take a step forward, because I think it's imperative that you run the ball with success in this game to take the pressure off of the edges. He's a big part of the run game, the center, right? He's right in the middle of the action. Every play that a center blocks, he's blocking somebody that potentially can make a tackle on every play. You can't say that sometimes for the tackle or tight end away from the play. You know, sometimes those guys, no matter what they do, they're not going to be able to make a tackle. But the center is blocking somebody on every play that can make a tackle.
The closest defender to the football is the guy right across from the center.
Correct.
I mean, right there. Yeah. Make one little move, boom, he's in the backfield.
Want to see him take a step up.
We'll come back in a moment. Plenty ahead, previewing the Jaguars and the Chargers in week three. And, yes, a little later in the show logs, we're going to pick players to watch Sunday. Your favorite.
I'm ready. I got a lot of players I'm going to be watching. I watch them all. I got, you know, every game you watch the film and you just, you know, you put a two-page list.
You got
of
about
guys.
20 minutes to pick a few.
I got a couple. I got a couple guys for you, JP. I'm ready for you.
This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, the Jaguars and the LA Chargers, SoFi Stadium, Inglewood, California. It's week three. It's a 4:05 kickoff time. We'll go on the air on the network at 3 o'clock with countdown to kickoff. Well, a couple of additions in free agency have, at least so far in 2 weeks, proven to be nice additions. Evan Engram on a one-year deal. I would think the Jaguars would have wanted to get him in at least a couple years, but he wanted to do the 1 year, kind of prove it feels like. And so far, so good. He made a couple catches short of the sticks on third down last week, broke tackles to get over the line and move the chain for a first down. And then, of course, there was a lot of outside noise about the contract paid to Christian Kirk, considering the production that he had in Arizona statistically. But the Jaguars had a united front on this and how they wanted to utilize him in the offense. And I think we're just starting to see the beginning of what could be a great relationship between him and Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I think part of that relationship, you know, I'll give you a play to kind of remember from the ball game that I could point to say, hey, that relationship is building. Cam Robinson had what was a completely phantom holding call on Ngakoue. You remember that?
Yes.
And I said in the broadcast, if that's a holding on Cam Robinson, that's a terrible call. Well, that's what the penalty was, and it was still a terrible call.
You told them.
It backed up to where the Jaguars were first and 20 until the very next play. They have a pass play that's called. And when Trevor – when his back foot gets into, you know, into the pocket and he's at that point where he should throw the ball, there's nothing open. And so he leaves the pocket, not because so much that there's pressure, but because the clock is ticking in his mind that, hey, look, pressure's probably going to be coming soon. I should get out and create more time. Maybe I can run. Maybe I can throw it by extending the play. So anyway, when a play gets to that point, whether the play gets disrupted by pass rush or the quarterback chooses to leave the pocket on his own, it's called scramble rules. So scramble rules are is that, okay, look, the play design's not now working, so the quarterback is going to do something to get out of the pocket, and now all the wide receivers need to find an opening and work their way towards him. Some that are deep come short. Some that are short go deep. Find an opening. Find something to make it work. Well, Christian Kirk comes across the formation because he's now kind of on the side away from where Trevor escaped to. He smartly starts running across the field, finds an opening, puts a hand up, and then Trevor, which I thought this was a thing of beauty, and he did it twice. Remember, he had a bootleg that he went to the left side, a design bootleg, and he did such a good job on this first and 20 play and on the bootleg because he's running to his left of squaring his shoulders up and then making the throw. Some quarterbacks are running to their left, and they just try to throw it from their running position, and they're never accurate. And he smartly squares his shoulders, makes the throw, but it was a connection on a scramble rules play with Christian Kirk that you go, yeah, all right. You know, and these two guys that haven't worked well together, and typically scramble rules is something that takes a little bit of time to kind of – to get there, you know. So credit to Christian Kirk and credit to obviously the quarterback, because those two are really working well together, and everybody can complain about the contract that Christian Kirk got all they want. But the simple fact of the matter is that you have a top 10 wide receiver in the league right now.
Yeah, he's actually fourth in the league in yardage, but yes, I think just in
I'm just
the
saying
way
top
he's utilized.
10, you know, just, yeah, I don't want to say he's a top four wide receiver.
I'm ready.
You know, okay,
it makes sense.
And put him in top 10, it's fair.
If they have put this together in 2 weeks and, you know, they missed six passes to him in week one.
Yeah.
He had 12 targets and only six catches.
What's really cool, and first off, before I go, what's really cool, if you looked at Christian Kirk's numbers and compared them to the best receiver in football last year, who do you think the best receiver in football was last year?
Oh, it was
Rams.
Yeah, Rams.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, right?
Jeez,
I had a brain cramp.
Okay, the second best slot receiver in all of football last year was Christian Kirk. The best slot receiver was Cooper Kupp. And you know, for a young quarterback, you want to get easy completions. Well, those easy completions come from guys that are in closer proximity to the quarterback, and that's the slot receiver. And it's now a three wide receiver game. So, I mean, that's the importance of that can't be underestimated. You know, so, I mean, that's one of the things that I love about Christian Kirk. You know, so, you know, don't complain about, you know, 4 years, what was it, 4 years, $72 million. I mean, okay. I mean, that's what you pay to have a top 10 receiver.
It's not your money anyway.
But what I love are the ways in which the coaches are getting him the ball. The design. Week one, you get a one-on-one matchup where they clear everybody out, and then they get him matched up against Jamin Davis, the linebacker for the Commanders. Notice I got that right. Yes. I didn't say the other name.
Well done.
Okay, and then turn around the next week against the Colts. They get the exact same matchup, but this time it's a linebacker, E.J. Speed. So to continue to get those matchups and to come up with play designs, I mean, that's, I think, is just – I think it's next-level stuff. And then I'll eventually get to kind of along those lines what Doug said to me after we got off the air, because I asked him about working with his offensive staff.
Okay, we'll come back and get to that, because I think that's an interesting topic. I really do. We heard from Doug Peterson, of course, earlier in the show, in the opening segment tonight, because it's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Yes, it does. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Glad you're with us. The Doug Peterson Show, Week 3. Jaguars Chargers coming up in Inglewood, California. We heard from Doug Peterson in the opening segment of the show, as we do every week. He jumps in here and joins us and gives us the latest. And you've been referencing this point that he made after.
Well, first off, the offensive staff that he assembled is outstanding. You know, Mike McCoy, quarterback's coach, Press Taylor, offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter is the passing game coordinator, Phil Roush, your offensive line coach, and I think he's done a really good job with the offensive line. Bernie Parmalee still on staff. But you know, I asked him.
Angulo's the tight end coach.
Angulo's tight end coach.
Yep.
And I asked him, I said, you know, what's it been like to work with, you know, the likes of Mike McCoy, that to have Mike McCoy and Press Taylor and Jim Bob Cooter, all you guys in the same room. And because, you know, he had a really good offensive staff in Philadelphia with Frank Reich as part of that staff. And he said that he felt like this is the best that he's ever had. And that's saying something now, you know, because he's been in the league for quite some time, and to feel like that, hey, look, you know, I'm really – in other words, he's saying he's really happy with where they're at as an offensive staff.
Yeah, the collaboration and the communication is key. And there's a lot of guys who've been around the league for a few minutes in that room, and to be able to, you know, speak your mind freely, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we'll have to get into that a little bit with him maybe next week and talk about that. And because it's just been impressive to watch the play design, the little wrinkles that they put on it, the matchups that they get, to where you've got a very talented guy like a Christian Kirk that you're able to utilize him, and 2 weeks in a row he's had a big impact. And it's not like they're force feeding him, you know, because teams will force feed a guy just because you know, he's a diva and he's got to get force fed, and you know, they feel like that's the only weapon that they have in the offense. You know, the plays are going to Christian Kirk kind of as they see fit, but then some of it is by design, and it's been impressive.
I actually talked to Christian about this in the locker room earlier. We'll hear it on Sunday in the Publix tailgate show locally in Jacksonville on 1010XL. About that, there are really a lot of receivers have some diva in them. Not everyone.
He doesn't,
them.
Though.
But none of this room, it feels like, does. That was the whole point he made. Zay Jones doesn't have that.
No.
Marvin Jones has been in the league too long to have that, 11 years. He's kind of been that second, third guy in a lot of places. So he doesn't have that at all. If they can run a route to help somebody else get open, that's just as good as running a route and making a catch. Maybe not statistically, but it helps the team.
They block for each other down the field. Listening to Evan Engram talk about the game against Indianapolis, where he's like, you know, it's not about me, it's about team. I'm a team guy. You know, I, give a lot of credit to Trent Baalke too. I mean, look, him and Doug Peterson worked very closely together to assemble this roster to change the culture. It's not easy to change the culture. You have to be able to do it with special people. And so give the both of them credit for working as hard as they have to make sure that they've got the pieces in place to be able to change that culture. And I'm not saying that, okay, the conversation's over, the culture's changed, and okay, well, we're there. I'm not saying that. It's a constant process. But everything that I'm seeing, everything that I'm hearing, and everything that I'm watching, I'm loving. From the standpoint of you feel like that this team is going where they need to go.
We'll come back and get to those players to watch logs, so you better be ready.
I'll be ready. And I got a couple all-pro offensive linemen, early season all-pro selections.
You know, it's only 2 weeks in.
I know.
Right? You're already crowning all-pros?
I've got some guys I've watched
the
on film.
The all-Logaman team after
I've watched
two.
Some guys on film that are just, wow, really
right.
Good.
All right. We'll get that coming up as well. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back. Doug Peterson Show continues. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Head coach Doug Peterson joining us in the first segment each and every Thursday. All right, players to watch. The highly anticipated, unusually teased segment of this show. What do you got for us?
You want one on each side of the ball? Matchups?
Yeah, yes, give us a matchup to watch, a couple players.
All right, I'm gonna do two on Chargers offense, Jaguars defense. I'll start with one that's the big guys. Rashawn Slater, who in my opinion, and I agree with Baselli, he's one of the best left tackles in football, and he's only in his second year. I think him against Trayvon Walker is going to be awesome to watch. You're talking about an extremely talented young left tackle, first overall pick, who has had an impact in the first 2 weeks of his young career. I think that's going to be a really good watch. And then the other one, because the Chargers have one of the most versatile backs in the league in Austin Ekeler, who is a running back and also a pass-catching machine, as I said earlier, averaging 70 catches a year in the last 3 years, I think this is a big game for Devin Lloyd.
And got to chase him around. Yeah.
And Devin Lloyd had a fantastic game in week two. And remember, he didn't have any snaps really in the first three preseason games, but then got some in the Falcons game. And then, you know, week one in Washington, he's starting. And the coaches, I think, did a great job of working him back into the lineup and had a chance to talk to his dad. And you can see where that steady, calm leadership, you know, is where he gets it from. And Devin Lloyd, I go back to what Mike Caldwell said about him. Said he's a student of the game. And, you know, there's a lot of young players in the league you just don't say that about because they haven't learned how to be a student in the NFL, how to study, how to do it. And when Mike Caldwell says that about a guy that played the position that he did, that's high respect. So that's, I think, a couple matchups there.
All right. How about the all-Logaman team through week two on the O-line? Is that what we're calling
this? I'll give you three guys that I think are
we
all.
We need like a logo and like a jacket like the old Madden team? None of that stuff?
Just
week two, all-Logs team.
You know, every week you watch the film and, you know, you watch the Chargers and I'm watching the Chargers offensive line. And I'm going to tell you, Rashawn Slater is right now, he is on my all-pro team left tackle position.
Okay.
And then watching part of that game, that matchup, you also watch Kansas City's offensive line. And I literally, after watching half the game, I said, all right, I've got to find out who is wearing 52 and who is wearing 62 because this is the best center guard combination in football. The center is a second-year player, second-round pick last year out of Oklahoma. His name is Creed Humphrey. I think he's the best center in football right now from watching him. And Joe Tooney, who was a free agent signing from the Patriots, is arguably the best guard in football. And so what I do typically when you when your eyes tell you something, you go and you confirm it or you try to find out what others' opinions are on it. So you, I go and pull up the Pro Football Focus stuff to see if am I looking at it right. And sure enough, Rashawn Slater's right there, I think, at number two. As far as tackles go, Creed Humphrey's number one at the center, and then Tooney is number two, which actually is number one because he's the only one that's really a true starter. There's a guy that played a couple snaps that's ranked ahead of him. But, I mean, those guys are at the top of their list, and I'm like, wow. All right, well, I know what I'm looking at. I'm not crazy. But it's fun to watch the offensive linemen like that.
All right, let's come back in a moment. And the Jaguars quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is trying to win his first game on the road. We'll get to an interesting nugget and then wrap it up. After this, it's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back. Final 4 minutes of the Doug Peterson Show. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. The Jaguars and the Chargers coming up. Interesting nugget from NFL Research.
What do you got?
NFL Network Group. Bridget Condon on Twitter earlier this week put it out there. Trevor Lawrence, 0-9 on the road. He'll try to get his first road win Sunday against the Chargers. The only quarterback to lose his first 9 road starts and then win his 10th, Peyton Manning, who beat the Chargers in week 3 of his second season.
Pretty wild, right?
Let's hope history repeats itself.
I did. I saw that, and that's pretty cool from NFL Research. And, you know, here's hoping that Trevor matches what Peyton Manning did and gets his first road game victory against the Chargers, but in two different locations.
Oh, yeah, they were in San Diego then.
That's duh. Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Captain Obvious. Like,
wait a minute. What are you? There's so many moves around the NFL.
I can see the parts machinery starting to move there, JP.
I need some grease in there.
It's a little.
A lot of creaking and cracking in there.
Slow.
Yeah,
there.
The gears are turning slow today. All right, so this is a team that's 1-1. They're in first place. They've got some confidence. Doug Peterson this week's tried to temper some of the over the top, hey, we won, and no. The next game is what's coming up, and you got to get ready for that game separately of whatever happened the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I, you know, look, the other thing too is that one of the reasons why that they had the performance that they did against the Colts was, you know, turnover differential. The reason that you felt like they should have won in Washington was because of the turnover differential. They're doing a really good job at protecting the football. You know, the Trevor interception in Washington was an ill-advised throw. It wasn't a great decision. But for the most part, they have done really good. James Robinson protecting the ball. Okay, Trevor protecting the ball. You know, and that just needs to continue if you're going to have a chance to win. But, I'm going to say this again. If you're going to have a good performance in L.A., your running game, I believe, has to have a big impact and a really big impact and an effective impact. It just does so many things for all parts of a game when your running game gets rolling, and especially against an all-star cast. If you get that rolling, look out. You could have a big win in L.A.
I hate to break it to you, Logs, but I don't think this table is made of wood.
There's so wood in it. It's wood particle wrapped
it?
With a laminate. Yeah, this is not exactly a high-end table.
Okay, it looks nice.
But there is some wood in here, JP.
I'm just making sure. I didn't, I just wanted to make sure. You're a jinx guy.
I can,
so
I
didn't want to, like,
no, I can,
alert
trust
you.
You want me to pull some wood chips out here?
No, I'm good. I believe you.
Okay, see that? That's wood chips.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good. 405 is the kickoff time.
I am knocking
time.
On wood.
Yeah. Okay.
See
thank
that?
You.
There's more.
Point proven. Thank you. I'm wrong. I just wanted to make sure you were right on that. 4:05 kickoff, SoFi Stadium. We'll go on the air on the network at 3:00 with Countdown to Kickoff. Plenty of guests on that program. And, of course, if you're in Jacksonville, tune in starting at 1:00 Sunday with the Public Sailgate Show. We'll get you ready for action starting at 1:00, and then they'll tee it up. Total Leather 4:05. Let's play.
It's a long trip, road trip. And I think we got a – oh, that's right, you're not going to
Yeah, what is this we? Don't look at me.
Our broadcast crew, guys, we're going to have a dinner. Do we
– Guess what? There will be a bill from Jacksonville also.
No, I'm just wondering, do we get you like an Uber Eats Saturday night?
I'll take care of it. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about a thing. That'll do it for our program tonight. Joe Fortunato, David Cho, Brent Reber, Jeff Loggeman. I'm JP Shadrick. It's the Doug Peterson Show.